You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Welcome to the program. Hour one on this Tuesday, Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. I like how these coaches don't care what we have to say, but then they care what we have to say. You picked against us. You don't know anything. You ever played basketball before? Welcome to the program, already in progress. Dan Dockich, former coach, former player. He's a know-it-all. He'll join us coming up here in a little bit. Is Indiana settling on their guy, the Hoosiers? And Adrian Wojnarowski, the ESPN senior NBA insider. We get ready for the trade deadline. Are the Lakers going to do anything at the trade deadline? Also, is Kyle Lowry on the move? And could he be the difference in, say, Philadelphia or Miami? So we'll talk to Woj coming up in a little bit. Phone calls are welcome, 877-3DP-SHOW. Email address, dp@danpatrick.com. Twitter handle, dp-SHOW. Sweet 16, anything but chalk this year, as the sum of the seeds of the teams in the Sweet 16 is 94. That's the highest in any NCAA tournament seeding since it was introduced back in 1979. First Sweet 16 featuring four teams seeded 11th or worse. I always have a problem. Is it 11th or is it a higher seed? Is it a lower seed? Like, if you're a lower seed, are you a 3? If you're a higher seed, are you 11?
Or I would think you'd aspire to be a higher seed in life. Higher would be better. Lower would be a bad thing.
But the lower the number, the higher the seed.
So Michigan's a low seed. A lower seed because they're number one.
They have a low number, but they're a higher seed.
But that sounds like a negative. Like if your test results are negative, that's a fantastic thing, right?
Well, you have four seeded teams, 11th or worse. UCLA 11, Syracuse 11, Oregon State 12, and Oral Roberts a 15. Do you guys have problems with that? A higher seed? A lower seed? Yes, Tom.
I always found that confusing. There's got to be a better way to refer to it. When I see a number of one or three, and that's called a higher seed, I think a higher number on like the number line, that a higher seed would be like a 12 because it's a higher number on the spectrum of numbers. So I don't know if I cleared that up much.
That doesn't clear up anything.
No.
No, it doesn't.
They should come up with something. Higher seed being one and lower seed being 12 when it's an actual higher number itself is bad.
Wow.
You call it better seeds and worse seeds.
That's on me. I should never have gone to you. I should have gone to the smart guy.
You know
in the
I
back
complicate this.
Who
further.
Didn't cheat off his neighbor's paper.
Wow. So McClellan. I got cheated off on my neighbor's paper.
Of course you did.
Yeah, I find this as confusing as you guys. All although right. I don't want to dive into it because I'll sound dumb like Todd. If you talk about it, you don't make any sense.
Give me your best guess here.
Well, if you're the higher seed, you're the underdog.
Yes, but it sounds weird to be a higher seed.
You never want to get lower on a mountain as a mountain climber. You don't go, let's get low. You want to go higher. You aspire for heights.
No, wait, the higher seed is the lower number.
Yes.
Right. So if you're a low
seed,
if you're a low seed, you have a higher number.
Yeah.
Right.
I think it's the exact opposite, isn't it?
No.
Oh. I really, until this moment, I believe that.
The favorites are the high seeds.
Thank you.
To have the low numbers.
And then there was one. Michigan, they have a high seed but a low number. They held on to beat LSU last night. The Big Ten is still alive in the NCAA tournament. The conference came in with high hopes. You had nine teams. You had two number one seeds. You had Illinois, Michigan. Two number two seeds, Iowa and Ohio State. They're gone, except for the Wolverines. Disappointing run. The tournament is in Indianapolis, so it's not exactly a home game because Indiana's not in it, but this is Big Ten country, and these teams have no excuses. A Big Ten team hasn't won at all since 2000. Tom Izzo and Mateen Cleaves at Michigan State. That's the last time the Big Ten won the national championship. That doesn't mean they haven't been close because the conference has had a team in the final game seven times, but they've come up short every time. We'll see if the Wolverines can snap that drought. But so far, this tournament has had a lot of Big Ten fans wondering, how long is it until the football season starts? Yes, McLovin.
I have a poll question.
Okay.
It's super mean.
Whoa.
Okay. If you're Michigan, you're still in it, would you rather win the college basketball title this year or beat Ohio State in football next year?
A regular season Ohio State game. Or the NCAA type. I would hope they would pick a national championship, but knowing this rivalry and what has happened recently, well, not so recently, it's a habit, a pattern here that they lose to Ohio State. If you're asking the question in March, if you're asking it in November, then that might be different here. I'm going to guess, although I can't speak for those in Michigan, they would want to see them beat Ohio State in football.
I think that's the right answer.
I'm guessing, because I'm going to take this as an Ohio native. If you said Ohio State had lost the last 15 years to Michigan in football, but you had a chance to win the national championship in basketball, knowing how Ohioans would feel, they would want to beat Michigan in football. Yes, Seton.
And I'm sorry, just because I don't remember, which has happened more recently? Michigan won the national title in basketball or have beaten Ohio State in football?
Wow.
I just can't remember back that far.
Wow, it's a shot. Shots fired early here.
I've been waiting since 1989 to take that shot.
Like, factually correct. We're 7 minutes in. Shots fired. Yes, Paulie.
I think Alabama fans would rather watch the spring football game than their team in the national title game.
It is weird. There are certain programs where you go, Oregon football program. You look at Florida State, used to be a football program, but they've been pretty good in basketball. Alabama, Arkansas. You normally associate these schools at least playing football. Arkansas hasn't played football well, but we think of Arkansas, you go back to Nolan Richardson, 40 minutes of hell, but you got some football programs who are here in the Sweet 16. Yes, McClellan.
What is University of Houston? Because they have a football history, but they had Phi Slamma Jamma. I feel like they're a football school too.
I don't know if they're either.
They had David Klingler.
Ooh.
Yeah. And Andre Ware.
Case Keenum.
Yeah. I mean, it's a...
Greg Ward Jr.
It's a football state, but...
Remember, I remember Joe Montana beat them in the Cotton Bowl, right? They were really good when I was really young, as I recall.
Yeah. I don't know how good they were back then. They were in the Cotton Bowl against Notre Dame. But...
But do you view schools that don't have a football team a little differently? I see Gonzaga and Creighton as like, oh, those are, I can't take, you're always going to be a mid-major if you don't have a football team.
Okay. I was
you're always going to be.
Okay.
Yeah, I know. I'm sorry to bring that mid-major, but you're never going to be like a blue blood if you don't have, or maybe I'm wrong.
I like how you came with a strong opinion.
Well, Duke doesn't really have a football team in there. And
Kentucky. There's certain programs that you don't think of their football teams. Yes, Paul.
And then there's anomaly schools in the South, or kind of South, like Duke, which is a basketball school, Kentucky, which is a basketball school. Lately, they've had some pretty decent football at Duke and Kentucky. But it feels like, you know, if Kentucky football goes 6-5, that's a nice year, but they're doing better. Duke football is respectable now, and it's not just an anomaly.
We'll come up with a poll question. Say good morning to our TV partner, Peacock. All 3 hours you can watch. Download the app. You can watch for free. And also our great radio affiliates around the country. McLevin, you got a poll question for me?
Yeah, the other one I was going to throw out. What's the storyline that has you most paying attention to the tournament?
Okay, let me see. Let me see if I can guess what your poll question options are. The surprise of the Pac-12.
Yep.
The disappointment of the Big Ten.
Well, are you going to follow that from here on out?
Oh, okay.
I didn't put it in, but that is a big storyline.
Oh, I thought you were talking about, like, today, what is the storyline?
Okay, that's a better question. Yep. Okay, okay. Big Ten.
Gonzaga is still undefeated.
Yes, Gonzaga's getting a lot of attention.
What would be another great storyline? Which Cinderella are you rooting for? Like, you got a lot of Cinderellas, don't you?
Well, there's, you know, they're like lower seeds, but it's like a Syracuse.
Wait, are they higher seeds?
I don't. Oh, no. I started again.
Yes, sir.
Like it's.
Like Oral Roberts.
They're big, but then the.
Cinderella.
Yeah.
Okay. But you look at Oregon State, like Syracuse isn't a Cinderella story. Right.
Like what? UCLA is an 11 seed, yeah. But they're the ultimate non-Cinderella.
Yeah, Paul.
And Loyola can no longer be a Cinderella because they were in it a couple of years ago. They're kind of in this no man's land of being lovable and cute, but they've been there.
Sort of like Gonzaga used to be.
Right.
One more storyline as far as stars, and I'm late to the party, but that Mobley kid on USC.
Like, I tried to tell you during the regular season.
You know, you kept talking about it, but when do I watch USC basketball?
And his dad is an assistant coach on the team.
That's convenient. What a coincidence.
This has happened before. It's totally legal that you hire your... Allen Houston's dad got hired at Tennessee to be an assistant coach.
And one day later, his son commits to Tennessee?
Yeah, and then Allen goes to the NBA, and then his dad doesn't have his job anymore. This has happened a few times where somebody gets hired, and with them, they bring people with them. Yes, McLovin.
I mean, if you're a USC fan, like, is this tournament not as important because you have three more years of Evan Mobley there? Just kidding. I mean, that guy had... I was watching last night. I'm like, oh, that guy's in the NBA as soon as possible.
Yes, and then Missouri had Michael Porter Sr. He was the father of Michael Porter Jr. And then they also had another brother who went to Missouri as well. Larry Brown, when he was at Kansas, hired Ed Manning. And then Danny Manning went to Kansas.
Wouldn't it be great if some coach hired the dad and then at the last minute the son goes, nah, I'm going to go to Duke. I'm going to go somewhere else.
Well, it sort of happened at LaSalle with Kobe's dad.
Yeah.
Joe got hired as an assistant. And then Kobe, of course, went to the pros. I don't think Kobe was going to LaSalle. I think he was going to Duke. I don't think he was going to go to LaSalle just because his dad was there, but his dad got hired at LaSalle.
I think he was doing a favor to the program to recruit. Kobe said LaSalle was the second choice. Mm. You're not buying that, right? That was just a nice thing to say.
Well, it's like a distant second. Yeah. It was the NBA, and then maybe it was Duke, and then LaSalle.
But the one that always got me, Michael Beasley at Kansas State, how he ended up out there.
Kansas State got a couple of kids, and you go, huh? How did that happen? But it did. So Iowa's out, Kansas out, Oregon, Gonzaga, UCLA, USC, Creighton, Michigan, Florida State, Bama advance. Do want to acknowledge the passing of Laker Hall of Famer Elgin Baylor. I don't think I got a chance to see him play in person. I saw that Laker team 1971-72 in person in Cincinnati. Elgin was on the team, but I think he was injured then. Elgin Baylor might be the greatest player to never win a championship in the NBA and the greatest player that missed out on the TV era. Because Elgin was different. He was a great athlete, and I think he played at two colleges. I think he went to Seattle University, and I think he played for a junior college, but might have led the nation in scoring and rebounding. And I know Jerry West idolized Elgin Baylor. And I can't imagine what Jerry's feeling today. But Elgin Baylor, there's that grace, that poetry, that fluidity that he had when he played. And it was just different back then. He was a great athlete playing basketball back then. But one year, Elgin Baylor averaged 38 points, 18 rebounds, and 5 assists, by the way. And then he had a knee injury. And I think most people remember Elgin Baylor as the guy who was at the lottery and he was there representing the Clippers. If you're of a younger generation, that's probably what you remember. But I don't think he was playing that night that the Cincinnati Royals beat the Lakers the last time they were in there. The infamous Wilt Chamberlain yelling at me to get off the effing bus. Yes, McClellan.
I'm looking at the game log. He played 9 games that season. He played Cincinnati in L.A., but did not make the trip to Cincinnati. So it confirmed he was hurt.
Yeah. Yeah, Paul.
You're right about college. At University of Seattle, he averaged 30 and 20. Can you imagine someone averaging 30 and 20? Yeah. Like Zion Williamson averaged like 18 and 9 at Duke, or 18 and 8.
Yeah. But Elgin passing away, I believe at the age of 86. All right, McLovin, which poll question we're going to come up with?
I think we should do the college storylines to see what people say. But I do have an NBA question. It's maybe not a poll, but I just want to know where you put my Brooklyn Nets. And I'm saying that because I live in Brooklyn. Are they, as everyone is saying, the team to beat right now, at least in the East?
Well, I don't know that. Kyrie just left for 3 days. Kevin Durant's not back yet. What if Kyle Lowry goes to the Sixers or the Miami Heat? Does that change? If he goes to the Sixers, does that change anything? I don't know. Like right now, I guess it's the Nets and Lakers, but here are the Lakers without AD, without LeBron for a while. Are they going to be in the play-in game? Like, are they going to be a 7 seed?
The standings are so tight in the West. If you have a 2-week slide, you could fall from 3 to 7.
Yeah, I know. That's really the key, is what happens in their absence. Do the Lakers do anything here? And is Kyle Lowry, you know, like Aaron Gordon of Orlando, could be on the move. And that's a really good young player. You know, does that change anything? Do the Nets go out and get somebody? Can they go out and get somebody? But, yeah, Kyrie's not there, and KD, I don't have any time frame. I haven't seen a time frame on KD coming back. Yeah, McLovin.
With the Lakers being, with LeBron older, would you trade away all your first-round picks to get in more for this season to help get through this? Like, philosophy-wise? I don't know if they can. I don't know what picks they have, but...
Well, you should check and see if they have first-round picks and who wants those picks at the end of the first. You know, a lot of teams don't care about draft picks. Like in the NBA, they don't care. But, I mean, if you package something, can you get something? Yeah, Paulie.
The Lakers, this draft, their first-round draft pick is already owned by the New Orleans Pelicans. And at 2022, they own their first-round pick. It's a backup pick for the Pelicans, and the Pelicans want to pass on the 2021 pick. Hmm. So the Pelicans basically control the Lakers draft, oh my gosh, for the next couple of years with swaps.
This program brought to you by DraftKings. Download the DraftKings app. Use the promo code SQUAD. Get a free shot at millions of dollars up for grabs this week. Your first deposit, minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Take a break. We'll settle on our poll question. The always opinionated Dan Dockage of the Mothership will join us coming up next. Woj will join us in an hour. We'll talk about the NBA trade deadline and that Brad Stevens, those Brad Stevens rumors, are they put to bed now that he's staying in Boston? And as I've said before, you'd be crazy to leave the Celtics to coach Indiana. But we'll talk to Woj about that as well. Coming up on 19 After the Hour, this is the Dan Patrick Show.
What's up, everyone? It's me, three-time NFL All-Pro Sean Merriman, and I have a new sports podcast called The Lights Out Podcast with Sean Merriman. This podcast is special to me as I get a chance to talk to some of the best who've ever done it on the field or the track. So whether it's talking to a Super Bowl champion or a NASCAR Cup Series champion, The Lights Out Podcast will bring it to you the only way I know how to. I'm giving you the best insight from the best who've ever done it. Listen to Lights Out with Sean Merriman on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcast.
Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app. This conversation with Dan Dockage, brought to you by Capital One. What is in your wallet? We'll settle on our poll question. I think we already did, McLovin, because I'll ask Dockage that. He's there in Big Ten country in Indiana.
The but, Michigan question?
Yeah.
If you're a Michigan fan, would you rather win the NCAA basketball title this year or beat Ohio State in football next year?
I said it from an Ohio perspective, an Ohioan, that I would rather beat Michigan in football. If I had lost, okay, understand this. Michigan has beat Ohio State twice in the last 18 years.
Stat of the day.
Bop, bop.
Here comes that
what?
Stat of the day.
And do we know the average margin of victory for Ohio State in those games?
I'm going to need a minute
okay.
on that.
All right, let me bring in Dockage, ESPN college basketball analyst, host of the Dan Dockage Show on The Fan in Indianapolis. Let me start there. You think Michigan would rather win the national championship in basketball or beat Ohio State this November in football?
Dan, I have a son that went to Michigan. I paid a lot of money to Michigan. There's no – look, a national championship is a banner that's hanging. There's no doubt winning a national championship in football. I mean, Dan, I realize Ohio State can't – or excuse me, Michigan can't remember the last time they beat Ohio State in football. But come on, there's banners for winning a national championship. That's forever. Nobody – 5 years from now, nobody remembers the score of the Ohio State-Michigan game. Come on.
It feels like it's a story for a week when you win a national championship. But the bragging rights of beating Ohio State in football? You're a basketball guy. You're in Indiana. What do you know about football?
Hey, I know from football, pal. I know from football. Tom Allen in Indiana, we're rolling in football.
You're right.
Better than Michigan in football.
You are. You are. All right, what's the big storyline you take away so far from March Madness?
Dan, I take away a couple things. I take away the Big Ten. Big Ten losing 8 of 9 and doing it badly. You know, I've always said the Big Ten, and I don't know if you agree with this or not, but coaches will tell you, man, the Big Ten's best coached league, Big Ten's best scouted league. I got to tell you, there's some bad coaching in this tournament in the Big Ten. And I hate to say it because most of these guys are my friends. Dan, I'm watching Purdue go down, can't make a shot, and they got their two best shooters on the sideline. I'm watching Edie, who played great, not even get off the bench. I'm watching Michigan State go down, and they got their two best shooters on the sideline, and Hauser and Gabe Brown. I'm watching Illinois. I'm at the Illinois game the other day, Big D, and they don't adjust. My brother, who is an attorney, he's like, why aren't they pressing? Why aren't they doing something? I said, watch. They will in the last 3 to 5 minutes. They did. It didn't matter. I think the Big Ten, Iowa didn't guard all year. Iowa looked incredibly slow. I thought the Big Ten looked incredibly slow. I take that away, and I take that. You know what, Dan, the other thing, defense wins a little bit. Like, you know, I'm watching, and I know they were way overmatched. Abilene Christian was way overmatched against Texas, Dan. Would you agree with this? Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
You watch basketball. You learn at the feet of me when I do games. I get that, Dan.
Yeah.
You ever seen a more overmatched team physically than Abilene Christian and Texas, and that team wins the game, not loses, wins the game? You ever seen a more overmatched physically team?
I probably have, but just the recent memory of seeing that was pretty stunning.
It was. So I do. I think, you know, you're here in the Big Ten, you got 9 teams in, you got 1 left, and they all failed miserably. Like, didn't lose to Gonzaga in the tournament. The Big Ten is, I think, the biggest story around here.
And then if you look, like, Loyola's not a Cinderella story.
No.
Syracuse isn't a Cinderella story.
No.
Oral Roberts is a Cinderella story. Is Oregon State a Cinderella story? Is UCLA a Cinderella story?
Dan, we're old enough. I don't care what happens with UCLA. That's not a story. Come on.
I know. No. It does sound strange to say that with UCLA. But, I mean, recent history, though. I mean, Cronin's done a really nice job in there. Is USC a Cinderella story?
No, I think USC is a redemption story. I think, you know, when you looked at USC, all you've seen is, you know, involvement. If you really paid attention in that trial, their name came up a lot. Tony Bland's name came up a lot. I think it's a redemption story. I think Oregon State's a great story. I think, you know, Wayne Tinkle has got, you know, he had his son, was a good, really good player. You know, he's gone, all of a sudden they catch fire. And that's obviously, Dan, as you and I both know, that's one of the great things about the tournament is you can catch fire. And I think it's a great story. I think UCLA is a story of what should be. Like, UCLA should be there. And I think Mick Cronin, I was talking to Michael Lewis, their assistant, and that's all they talk about. Like, look at these banners. This is what we should be. This is who we should be, Dan. Yeah. So I think they're all great stories in different ways.
I mentioned the Mobley story at USC. This has happened before many times down through the years where you hire somebody, if the dad, and then you're able to bring in players. And it's totally above board, correct?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, hey, look, you go back. I mean, whether it's a high school, hell, Bob Knight back in 76, I mean, you'll remember the names, John Laskowski and Tom Abernathy. He hired their high school coach, Bob Donovan. Now, I don't know if he hired him to get those two guys, but this has been going, Ted Owens did it at Kansas for years, Danny Manning. No, this has been going on for years. You know, I never presume because, Dan, I was in this for 20 some years in coaching, and look, everybody said, everybody tells me that everybody cheats, right? Everything that happens, well, they cheat. I don't know that anybody, I've never had anybody come up to me and say, hey, coach, they just gave me $30,000. I've never had that. So, look, you hire a guy's dad, you got the players you want, and away you go. It doesn't have to be nefarious.
Yeah, and I just said that, like, Ed Manning got hired, Danny Manning went there.
Right.
We saw that with Michael Porter Sr., Michael Porter Jr. going to Missouri. Like, this has happened down through the years. I think people are just being reintroduced to it when, you know, the Mobleys go there to USC and their dad's on the staff.
Yeah, and you know, we forget the past so quickly, right? And the other thing is, here's the one thing, man. Dan, when you were in college and I was in college, you had three assistant coaches. Maybe a fourth guy was a volunteer. Now you look at those benches. Dan, there's 800 dudes in suits and press suits, man. I mean, so, you know, what job you hiring them for? I don't know. And I'm not just talking about this situation. I'm talking about other situations. You know, what job you – there's so many jobs on a bench now. Look, they hired them. They're smart. They're in the Sweet 16. Let me tell you something. At Indiana right now, we'd love to have the dad of somebody on the sideline and be in the Sweet 16. Are you kidding me?
So who's getting the Indiana job?
I don't know.
Who will get it and who should get it? Are those two different questions?
Alford should get the job. My opinion. You're asking me.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
You're not asking a regular fan. I've watched Indiana, Dan, for 21 years. Since Bob Knight, and the program is in no better shape. Look, I know everybody, well, Bob Knight hit a player. Yeah, well, Calvin Sampson got us on probation. Yeah, well, there was 8 million drug tests or failed drug tests. Yeah, well, they haven't won close. The graduation rate isn't any higher. Donors aren't any. The basketball's awful. And every time I look in Assembly Hall and I go into Assembly Hall and I see statues, you know where they're from? The Bob Knight era. I've had enough personally. I've had enough personally of the hot guy. Dan, swear to God, I called Fred Glass, the AD, when they hired Archie Miller, and I said, you just made the worst hire you could possibly make. I said, well, you are making us like everybody else. And frankly, Indiana is like everybody else. Not a lot of great teams.
How do you mean that, though?
How do I mean what?
That you're like everybody else.
Well, here's what I'm saying. There's not a lot of great teams, and there's not a lot of awful teams. There's a ton of teams right in the middle. We have no – hey, Dan, for 21 years, I thought Tom did a really good job, Kareem, of bringing us out. But we have no identity.
Yeah.
What's Indiana basketball about? Is it shooting? No. Is it defense? No. Is it tough play? No. It's just another team. And for a guy like me, Dan, that spent 17 years there, like I got to get a hip replacement because of a hit I took. I got to get a knee replacement. I got a bad neck. I want to see an Indiana guy in there. I want somebody that can bring back Indiana basketball's pride. I want to see somebody that can galvanize the fan base. And frankly, the only guy that I see that can do that is Alford. I get that the hot guy just won a game and goes to the Sweet 16. You know what? So did Archie Miller. But as you know, everybody wins a date. Everybody wins a date. So I'm tired of the hot guy here. I'll support him. Hey, look, I got a radio show. I'll do everything for the guy. But I'm tired of the hot guy. I'm tired of that Calvin Sampson comes in, for crying out loud, was on probation when Indiana hired him. On probation, and Indiana hires him at Indiana. Then you get a guy, well, he went to the Final Four with Dwayne Wade. Great, and Tom did a really good job. Then you get a guy, well, he went to the Elite Eight. Who cares? You either can know Indiana, understand it's a different job, or you can't. And to this point in my life, in my way of thinking, it's been 21 years of the hot guy, the outside guy. How's that worked out for us, Indiana? Not very good.
He's Dan Dockage, ESPN college basketball analyst, and has his own show, The Fan, in Indianapolis. We had Rick Pitino on last week, and I asked him if this was his final stop, and he said yes. And my Danette said, no, it's not his final stop. I'm the one guy who said this is Pitino's final stop. All right, Dockage, what side are you on? Does he have another job?
I had Pitino on my show. And Coach said, this is my final stop. And Dan, when people tell me things, I listen real close. I'm in between, but I always say gun to head. I say this is his final stop. I'm not sure, though. When he said it, I believed it. But, Dan, let's think about this. Rick Pitino ending his career at Iona. I like Iona. Iona's great. The Gales, Jeff Rulin, yay, Ron, go fight, win. But he's going to end his career at Iona. I'm taking the coach at his word, but I ain't betting on it. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. I hope he's found happiness after what he went through, and now he understands you got a job back, you got some respect back, you go to the tournament. But egos with you coaches, man.
Hey, Dan, can I ask you a question about Rick Pitino?
All right.
Do you think Rick Pitino's, like, resume is now as good, if not better, than any other than maybe, you know, Wooden and Krzyzewski? And here's why. He leaves in disgrace. He goes out to Greece and wins two championships. Like, that's hard to do, man. That's, like, people don't understand the level of play. Then he comes back to this school, and guess what? He takes him to the tournament. I would argue that these last 2 years have done nothing but enhance this man's resume to the point of jumping a lot of people, Dan. What do you think?
I think he's one of the top five coaches, and I'm talking about NBA and college today. I think Pitino is that good. Now, he's not for everybody, a lot of stops, but the man can coach a basketball game.
If you were an Indiana fan right now, would you want Rick Pitino?
I was going to ask you that question.
Here's what I've said. Give me Brad Stevens. You know, I made this nice soliloquy about it.
He's not coming. He's not coming.
Okay, I know. I know he's not. All right, give me Brad. Give me Tony Bennett. He's turned the job down before. Or I'd do a talk show in Indy. Having Rick Pitino in Bloomington wouldn't be a bad.
It's all about content. It's all
a little bit.
All about content. You sent me your Final Four. I don't think your Final Four did too well, did it?
No, my Final Four stinks. I really thought going into the tournament, Illinois was playing as well as anybody, including Gonzaga. And, Dan, I was at the Illinois game, and I'm telling you, Illinois didn't have a chance in that game. Like, they were not good enough.
They didn't move the ball, Dan. The difference between Loyola's movement and Illinois' was astounding.
Dan, here's the other thing. Okay, you know that Krautwig kid, right? You're down whatever. They're comfortable as hell. They just throw it to this guy. He stands at the top of the key, surveys, looks around, says, oh, what the hell am I going to do? All right, I'll throw it to you. You'll get a layup. And the other thing, and this is where Loyola's dangerous. They guard you. Like, they got Williamson, maybe if you know, it seems like every year a Duke player wins Defensive Player of the Year. I think it's Defensive Player of the Year sponsored by Duke. But the best defensive player is this Williamson kid, Dan. He locks it up.
Did they name the Defensive Player of the Year award after Woj? Steve Wojnarowski? I think they did. Like, all you got to do is slap the floor. I think Illinois slapped the floor three times against Loyola, and Loyola scored all three times when they slapped the floor. How silly is that?
Look, it's one thing to slap the floor because that's what you are. It's another thing to say, I think I'll slap the floor and act like I'm playing defense. Hey, another thing.
Yeah.
Dan, when I look at Oral Roberts, Tom Moore, you know the name Tom Moore? Awesome assistant coach in the NFL. Like, should be in the Hall of Fame, everybody says.
Yeah.
Tom Moore always says players, not plays. Like, late in the game, players, not plays. These two guys, I always say the guy's name wrong, Absmus and O'Banner. These two dudes got 59 against Ohio State. Now, Ohio State, pretty good on the perimeter defensively. They got 59. They backed it up with 55. Dan, you and I both know the name Harold Archambault and various guys across the country over the years that just go nuts. They got two guys that are balling. So, yes, Oral Roberts is a damn – they are a Cinderella, but when you got two guys that are going like that against Florida, against Ohio State, you got to take them serious. You got to take them very serious.
It's always great to talk to you.
You're the best. Thanks for the texts.
Yeah. Well, you're kind of lonely.
Can I do a plug? Shameless.
Oh, God. Okay.
Saturday mornings, I do a show on Sirius XM Radio 84. It's combination basketball and Stern. It's unbelievable.
Wait, did you just call yourself unbelievable?
I said the show's unbelievable.
Yeah. It's unbelievable Sirius gave you a job. That's the unbelievable. And I saw your dog. You're just a lonely man. You, your brackets, and a dog.
I'm in a basement, Dan. I'm in a basement with my IU memorabilia. Oh. I just sit here and dream of the day I kicked Michael Jordan's ass. You know what I mean, Dan? That's what I do all day.
Did you name your dog Knight? Alford?
No.
Damon Bailey?
I named it Calbert.
Calbert Cheney. good to talk to you, bud.
You too. Thanks for having me.
That's you, Dan Dockage. He works at the Mothership and, of course, the Dan Dockage Show on The Fan in Indianapolis. And his conversation brought to you by Capital One. What's in your wallet? The play of the day is up next here on The Dan Patrick Show. Thanks for listening to The Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Oh, my God.
The play, the play of the day.
Runner left side, got it!
Check this out.
Oh, a sharp bounce pass. Okay. Cross lane pass. Hammer time for Goodwin down low on the right side. Oh, that tic-tac-toe passing came out of absolutely nowhere, and the snap started with Anderson.
USC blows out number 3, Kansas, by a score of 85-51. Trojans have reached the Sweet 16 for the first time since 2007. Pac-12's 4 Sweet 16s, USC, UCLA, Oregon, Oregon State, match the most they've ever had in that round. Also 1997, 98, and 2001. That is your play of the day. Play of the day is brought to you by Built Bars, a protein bar that's actually enjoyable to eat. Go to BuiltBar.com, promo code DP10 for 10% off your order. BuiltBar.com, promo code DP10 at checkout. USC came into the tournament. They play great defense. When they play good offense, they're, as we saw last night, extremely dangerous. 877-3DP-SHOW, email address dp@danpatrick.com. The bracket challenge, our celebrity bracket challenge. We have a couple of listeners who were roughing us up here a little bit, but Jim Parsons right now from the Big Bang Theory is leading the way. He has the most points of the celebrities there. DC the Brain Supreme from Tag Team as second, then Brian Cranston and Chris Sims are tied for third. Alex Ovechkin is fifth in our bracket challenge.
Who knew?
John Daly, Jack Nicklaus, they're tied for sixth. Who else is in here? Don Mattingly, tied for eighth with yours truly and Seton O'Connor.
This is also the cast of Surreal Life 2030, Dan.
Darius Rucker is in there, tied for ninth. John Oates of Hall & Oates is in 10th place there. Let's see. As far as the fan leaderboard, we have somebody named Eric who has 50 points. Our leader, Jim Parsons, has 44. We've got quite a few listeners who are ahead of us in this, and we had 10,000 of you who signed up for the bracket challenge. The last place goes to Peter Schrager from the NFL Network. J.J. Watt is also he's 18th. Peter Schrager is 19th. I mentioned this to start the show. You know, coaches don't care what we have to say. We don't know anything. When's the last time you played? You know, we've seen that where coaches will dress down somebody. It happened with Jim Boeheim this year. Happened with Mike Krzyzewski. Like, what do you guys know? And then the USC head coach, Andy Enfield, had this to say after the win last night against Kansas.
I really want to thank CBS, Coach Mobley, Coach Hart, Coach Capco, and Coach Desmond. We were at lunch today, and we were checking the scores, and Coach Mobley pulled his phone out, and on came a CBS studio. We're not sure where it was, but the two guys picked Kansas because they said USC basketball and Andy Enfield coach teams, and USC team is so undisciplined. They said it's very undisciplined, so Kansas is going to win. I'm not sure. Just imagine if we were disciplined. We came out tonight. We were extremely hungry. And the coaches were just as hungry as our players.
I get it. Now, Imagine if what the media says or an analyst says, and they're correct, does anybody ever say, you know, I'd like to point out that somebody said we were undisciplined, and we were. That doesn't happen. But, you know, like if you criticized Bill Self and you said, you know, Kansas, they don't step up and they're such a disappointment in the tournament and wouldn't be surprised if they got blown out by USC. Does Bill Self come on and say, you know, I'd like to credit Clark Kellogg for saying all those negative things about us? It doesn't happen. Yes, Eden.
I mean, you could sort of keep following Andy Enfield's logic there and say, well, yeah, right. Imagine if you guys weren't undisciplined, you might be higher than a sixth seed.
Yeah.
I mean, there is room to go up here, right? Yeah, it could be that if you were a more disciplined team, you would be doing better. You could say that.
But then you had Eric Musselman at Arkansas. He calls out a CBS analyst. I believe it's Todd Furman. Said he'd never heard of Todd Furman, but Todd Furman had the audacity to pick against Arkansas. And if you never heard from the guy, why does it bother you? I don't understand that. Oh, that guy didn't mean anything to me. But what he said really bothers me. Make up your mind here. Eric Musselman trolls. Like, he loves the spotlight. He has fun with it. We've seen this before. In Nevada, he enjoys it. And that's probably what this is. He just, all right, let me call out this guy, or I'll use this as motivation. But you can't have it both ways. We either don't know what we're talking about, or what we do talk about matters to you. I don't care about, I don't even know who that guy is. Then why does it bother you? Well, when's the last time you played basketball? I don't know. When's the last time you played basketball? I probably played basketball more recently than Jim Boeheim has. Oh, by the way, Jim Boeheim and his son, Buddy Buckets Boeheim, on the show tomorrow. Together.
Both of them?
Yes. Might as well get Mom in there, too.
Yeah, do another interview with Patrick.
You probably didn't know I was making the tournament, didn't you?
Kid buttoning in on my airtime.
Yeah, great. Yeah. Buddy come in here. Yeah. Hey, buddy. Jim Parsons is going to join us.
It sounds like an SNL skit or something. Like, if he ever hosted SNL, it would be like one of the skits would be the Boeheims. And they're like, what do you want for dinner?
Name the buddy, because I can never remember his name.
Hey, buddy. Who's your buddy?
Here's his brother, pal. Hey, pal.
Hey, bro.
Yeah.
That'll be on tomorrow's program. Jim and Buddy, maybe not now. Okay, I heard you yesterday.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Dan Patrick Show weekdays at 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.